Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
State Treasurer David McRae has put millions back into the hands of Mississippi citizens, expanding the state's affordable college and career savings program and also returning record amounts of unclaimed money. Check out how Treasurer David McRae's office can help you, your business, or your organization. Treasury.ms.gov.
Listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
What is up, everybody? Glad to see you on this Tuesday night. My name is Michael Borky. Appreciate you being here. So, quick point of order. There will be no stream on Thursday. Something has come up, and I got to get out of town. So no stream on Thursday because, again, I've got to get out of here. I've got to spend the weekend out of town, and I am leaving after the radio show on Thursday. So no stream on Thursday. I will be back on Sunday in plenty of time to do the Sunday show. So we're just no show on Thursday. I will make up for it. We will do a lot of making up for the missed vacation shows during the season. During game weekends, there will always be an extra show. So the plan at the present is still to stick with Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. And then after every game, there will be a post-game live chat with you guys. After every single game, there will be a post-game show. And then we will just go live again on Sunday as well, because why the heck not? So no stream on Thursday. Sorry about that. Just last minute, have to leave for the weekend. But we'll be back on Sunday. Tonight, we're talking about a few things. I imagine you guys are going to – I haven't looked at the comments yet. I assume the first comment is going to be about Deion Smith. We will get to that later. I've got four cuts for you from Lane Kiffin's press conference that I found extremely interesting. A lot of good stuff here. He uses the E word when talking about his defensive line, the elite word. We'll get to that. I'll play it for you. He also was asked a question about the injury reporting. Part of his answer I found extremely interesting, but you'll hear that. Also had really good things to say about Trey Harris. Apparently, he's most improved on this team. Yeah, that Trey Harris, the dominating receiver. We'll get to that as well. And then the pressure that they're facing, how they're addressing it, preseason rankings, watch list, and things like that. Really good stuff from Lane. It was a shorter press conference, but man, he delivered. Again, four cuts for you from that. And of course, we will get to your comments and stuff on the live chat as well on this Tuesday night. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Follow me on social media, Twitter, YouTube, at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And if you are listening on the website, if you have not subscribed to the podcast already, pull out your phone. You've got a podcast app on your phone. I promise. Search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to do the same thing. Rebel Report, wherever you get your podcast, just search and subscribe. And if you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to like the video, leave a comment, all that good stuff, and subscribe if you have not already. And this edition of the Rebel Report is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know that in life, sometimes injuries are unavoidable. It shouldn't happen. We hope it never happens, but that day may come where you have been personally injured, or you may have a small business issue that you need legal advice for, or contract disputes. I've got the person for you. His name is DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He's in Saltillo, Mississippi. He can cover you, though. If you were in Mississippi, he's got you covered. 662-397-9799. 662-397-9799. That's DJ Gregory of the Gregory Law Firm. He will look at you more than just like a number. He will look at you like you're a real person. He will build a relationship with you, because that's the difference with DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm. Personal injury, small business, or contract disputes, any of those things that you might need legal advice for, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. The Gregory Law Firm presenting the Rebel Report. All right. We'll start with these Kiffin cuts, and then I'll get to your comments. Apparently, goodness gracious, there's a lot of them. Am I? Okay, you guys are just commenting. I was worried that I was like offline or something. We'll start with the one that you're here for. This is the one that grabbed me the most. This is Lane Kiffin talking about offensive line as well as defensive line. They had a scrimmage over the weekend, and here is how he described what he saw in their scrimmage in the trenches.
Talked about you're still kind of shuffling around defensive line. What did you like, or did you see what you wanted to out of offensive line and whatever y'all were working on Saturday?
I think it was up and down. I thought there were some good things. I think that I know we are deeper than we've been at that position, you know, to where, you know, the first and second group can alternate. They can go and you really don't have a drop off, and you see a lot of competition there and a couple guys that can play multiple spots. So I think that's in a really good place. They didn't play as well, as consistent as I would like. Now, again, they're going against, like I said, a pretty elite talent defensive line that played really well also Saturday, and that caused issues, and that was the goal of getting all these guys together, and so that maybe we could have one of those few defensive lines around the country that at times can really disrupt the game and take over a game.
All right, so a couple of things there. One, he used that E word. That's what I called it, the E word of elite, talking about the defensive line. But first, on the other side, he confirms the depth that we've talked about. As we mentioned, like their first practice that the media got to see, they had three guys missing on the offensive line. Three, what most people thought were going to be starters, missing. And the offensive line was Jerquan Scott at center, who has over 30 starts in his college career, transfer, and then four returning starters. That was with three guys missing. Now, apparently, everybody healthy there on the offensive line and available. That confirms the depth that we've talked about. Lane Kiffin sees that there is a lot of usable depth on the offensive line. My question has been and remains, what is the ceiling? Having depth is a really, really, really good thing. But what is the ceiling of that position group? They seem comfortable with what they have on the offensive line. Also, he seems to be grading them on a curve, considering what he said about the defensive line. But what is their ceiling? That is what I'm curious about. Because if these portal guys come in and don't win jobs, which I think they're going to, but let's pretend for a second that only Scott won his job and the other three aren't playing or aren't starting. That would concern me a little bit because while, you know, they're serviceable, it's an offensive line that helped them win 11 games a year ago. The difference between winning 11 games and being a good team and being a championship team was on the lines of scrimmage. Did they elevate their ceiling? Having depth is a great thing. It is a vital, vital thing. But did they elevate their ceiling? There's no way to know, really, until Kentucky, as we've talked about before. But still, that stood out to me that he also appears to see and like the depth that they have on the offensive line. But the defensive line answer, the E word, the elite word, he thinks that that defensive line can be elite. And what a rare thing that is in general. And what a difference that can be, because as he mentioned, what a quality defensive line can do to a football team cannot be overstated. And especially with what they have rotation-wise. It's everybody's obsessed with, understandably so, Walter Nolan and Prince Liu Manmielen. And apparently, for whatever it's worth, you guys know me. I'm not a reporter. I'm a commentator. If I hear things, I tell you about it. But I don't. You know, that's not my game. That's not what I try to do. And I'm not going to pretend to be a newsbreaker either. That's just not. It's not what I do. It's not what I am. It's not what my job is. But for whatever it's worth, it does sound like the obvious is true, that the same thing that they've talked about, that their teammates have talked about, that other people that cover the team have talked about. Physically, Princely and Nolan are who they were hoping they would be from a ceiling talent standpoint. Now, Princely still coming off of a shoulder injury and stuff like that, but they are what they were hoping that they would be from a physical ability perspective. But it's not just those two guys. We all know already about Pegues and Ivy, but I think that this defensive line its biggest strength might even be its depth. Because as we talked about before, Chris Hardy is a guy that would be not only a starter, but like a, this is a player that they need desperately if they're going to be good. He might not start on this defense. I think he's going to play a lot because Golding plays a lot. But Chris Hardy's not going to start on this team, barring injury. And look at what he did at Jacksonville State. Look at his pedigree and his physical ability. Xavien Harris is a guy that would start on 99% of Ole Miss's defenses of the past. And I think he's going to play a lot. But Akello Stone is just so solid. He was so solid last year and usable and veteran. And you've got Brown and Franklin and these guys, too, that haven't played snaps or have not played in college yet. But you're talking your third and fourth guys on this defensive line that have incredibly high upsides, and the staff and the team believes in their ability to give them quality snaps. They are three deep, possibly, on the defensive line with high-end players. Not just three deep with usable players, but guys that like can elevate the ceiling of a defense. And hearing Lane Kiffin, who is not complimentary very often, which is kind of counter to the theme of this press conference today or yesterday, it's not something you hear very often. And so when you hear words like elite, your ears perk up a little bit, because Kiffin doesn't give compliments like that unless it's an opponent, really. So if he says he thinks that defensive line can be elite, it's because that defensive line can be elite. On paper, it certainly can. Apparently, in practice, it is absolutely appearing to be that. That's big-time stuff from Kiffin there. Here's the next one I got for you here is Kiffin on the injury reporting that they are very likely going to have to do this season. I guess there's a vote. It's either this week or next week to finalize that and what that might look like. Kiffin was asked about it. Here's his answer.
Lane, this story is a few days old, but we haven't talked to you since then. There was a story that came out recently about coaches or everyone having to report injuries a couple hours before games, that kind of thing. Where do you stand on that?
I maybe should be more updated on that as far as where we are as a league. We talked about it, and it looked like it was coming this year, and so I might be a little behind on that. Maybe that's already out there that it is. Last I left, they were still kind of pushing, working on that being done. So I don't know that that's going to be in place, whether that's week one or whether that's for SEC games. I don't think it's that big a deal. There's two sides. Coaches like competitive advantage of not seeing injuries. But there's also the side, too, of coaches concerned that if the injuries are out there, that's less people trying to get to their players, you know, to get inside information. So I'm not... There's a lot of things I have opinions on and feel strongly about. This is not one.
So we won't spend too much time on that because of his indifference, but there's something that he said in there that I haven't thought of yet. And it's the other people, the outside people bothering his players and bothering other players and trying to get information from them. The angle that I've always taken on this is I think that you guys hear me rant about this all the time. The fans should be given more. You should know who's going to play and who's not going to play. You should be afforded that. And now with gambling as being a part of it, and not that I think that people that are betting on games need to be informed, but the making this universal and less ambiguous would, in theory, and does in theory, help preserve the integrity of the game and things like that. No, but I have not thought about it from that perspective of players getting bothered constantly about injuries and who's available and stuff like that. Because you know that there are some bad actors that are bugging players about availability. And so maybe the Universal Injury Report will help eliminate some of that. That was very interesting, something that I have not thought of, but we will move on. Here's the other real money clip, the eyebrow raising thing that Kiffin said. He was asked about Trey Harris, and his answer is something else. Here it is.
Trey Harris kind of mentored this program, and I mean, how much of a boost is it for you to kind of have him back for this offense?
Yeah, I think Trey, you know, this may sound strange. If we were to vote on most improved players right now from last season, I would put Trey Harris in that group, which is saying a lot for you know, whatever, basically a 1,000-yard receiver, and with missing some games. So he's just really had a great mindset all offseason, and he came back, and sometimes guys come back and they're a little comfortable and they're just kind of going through the motions because they, you know they're supposed to have this big season. He has really pushed himself out there. You know, the Trey and Trey matchup, you know, is really cool to see because they both are highly motivated, competitive individuals. And so it's really exciting to have him. I think this has a chance to be a really special year for him.
So Trey Harris, the guy that was a dominating receiver last year, is the most improved player on that Ole Miss team. If he is the most improved player, then look out SEC defenses. But in all seriousness, people forget, I think, too often about the injury that he sustained last season. During the Tulane game, missed time. I think most people thought he was going to miss more time. It was a pretty significant injury that he suffered. And I don't think that what you saw last year was Trey Harris at fully 100%. And he was still the way he was. So that's an element of this, too, is people forget what happened to him last season on his way to having the season that he did. But what stood out to me the most about Trey Harris, and I played for you guys the interview that I did with him for the radio show at SEC Media Days, and he's just a pro. And also, you got to love what Kiffin had to say about Trey Amos on the other side, iron sharpening iron and whatnot. That was also a really, really encouraging thing to hear. But Trey Harris is a pro. And in every sense of the word, very clearly his coach is proud of his work ethic. And obviously the ability, like as a wide receiver, is there to be a dominating takeover type wide receiver. That's clearly in the cards for Trey Harris. But I'm so impressed with how humble he is, but how professional he sounds and his approach and the selflessness. I know he's a transfer and you only get 2 years out of him, but Trey Harris should leave, and I think will leave Ole Miss as a fan favorite, because he should be. I mean, he's bright and articulate and hardworking and dominating on the field and such a great representative of what you want Ole Miss football to be. I was taken by his time there at Media Days and just how impressive he was, not just with us, but all around the whole thing. But hearing him go from having that season to that from Kiffin is that's a big deal. People, through all the Deion Smith discourse and the Juice Wells transfer and all this stuff, people are not giving enough hype to Trey Harris. And he's getting a lot, but I don't think he's getting enough. If you're talking about Ole Miss's offense and you're talking about anybody besides quarterback, anybody, it's got to be Trey Harris. He has got to be first, and he has got to receive like 90% of the conversation before you go anywhere else. He is just – if he stays healthy, knock on wood, he is going to have one of those special type seasons, and he can play his way into a first round pick, especially if what Kiffin said was true. Last cut for you, and then I'll get to your comments, and there's a lot of them, and this is a little bit of a long intro, but that's okay. Lane Kiffin was asked about pressure and preseason expectations, gave a really good answer about that. So here that is now.
For this season, another kind of form of that came out this morning when Ole Miss was ranked number six in the preseason AP. I think it's the highest since 1970. Do you kind of feel like there's more pressure on this program, like, since you've been here? Like, do you think there's the most pressure that there's been on this program since you've been here going into this season?
Yeah, I don't know that I necessarily feel that. You know, it's because I'm a coach, because I think I apply more pressure on myself than any outside source. I really do. So, like you talk about last season, the two things that come to my mind are the two losses. You know, I should have done a better job in those. I do get concerned, obviously. I talk extensively about it to players because I think that does come at them nonstop nowadays, you know, because of phones. And so, yeah, that's a big concern of mine, and we talk about it all the time. As that continues to come, whether it's individual, you know, this guy's supposed to be the number two receiver, or he's on this watch list and all that crap. That doesn't mean anything. Or another dangerous one is these mock drafts that are usually totally inaccurate. So, yeah, I'm trying to work on those things all the time with these guys, because now there's more of it than we've ever had here, for sure. You know, with the preseason rankings, with the position rankings, and or with mock draft things, and we're supposed to have this many people drafted, which is way more than we've ever had. You know, that's it's a lot to guard.
Did you hear how annoyed he was, by the way, at the concept of these watch lists and mock drafts and stuff like that? Like, the whole premise of those things kind of annoy him, and that's really funny. But yeah, that's a big test for this team, because in the social media age, you know, that team is hearing it from everywhere. Heisman, national championship, playoff, best team ever, highest ranking. They're hearing all that stuff. Navigating that and managing that is like the second biggest test for Ole Miss this year behind Georgia. Like, Georgia's their biggest test. Number two is, can they manage expectations and stay locked in? You know, it's a cliche, but it's true, on the one game at a time thing, to where they don't look past a South Carolina, to where they don't look past an Arkansas, because they're going to get everybody's best shot. A preseason top 10 team is going to be like the circle on the schedule type game for most people. This team on paper is good enough to go 11-1. They're good enough to be in the SEC championship. They're good enough to make a run in the playoffs. So on paper, they can do that. What's getting in their way? Themselves, in a lot of cases. Will they be able to block all this crap out and navigate the pressure and expectations and execute every Saturday? I think that answer is yes. I think the messaging coming from all of them is a positive sign. There has been no reason to think that they can't to this point, but they got to go out there and prove it. But they are very keenly aware of what distractions those can be. And luckily, Lane Kiffin got to work under Nick Saban and kind of see how the greatest of all time manages that. He's been through it himself in the past. They should be able to. Well, we'll see if they actually can. Maybe he can pull a Kirby Smart and like convince his entire team that nobody believes in them, even though everybody's picking them to win a national championship. Kirby appears to be pretty good at that. We'll get to your comments after I tell you the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online at absms.com. If your Mississippi business is in the market for office technology, anything from copiers and printers and mail machines to cloud storage, data security, whatever it is, if it's tech, if it's in the office and your Mississippi business needs it, absms.com, tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. Also, the podcast is brought to you in part by Priority One Bank. Bank with me at Priority One Bank. They make you their priority every single day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop. You don't need multiple apps to manage your money and do everything it is that you want to do with your money, because Priority One Bank, they make you their priority. All right, to the comments we go. Elite on paper, but honestly, I don't think we get close to seeing their full potential until conference play. I agree. The only true things we're going to learn about Ole Miss until Wake Forest are health. That's literally it. Wake Forest can teach us a little bit about things like, you know, focus and can they, you know, just take care of business. It is on the road. It is a Power Five team. I know they weren't particularly good last year, and Ole Miss is better at every spot than they are. But, you know, that still elevates a little bit. If they struggle with Wake Forest, that's eye-opening. If they dominate Wake Forest, it's noteworthy, although very little impact. But the true test will be Kentucky. That's when we will truly know one way or another about this team, is what they do and what they look like against Kentucky. That's the true what did we learn weekend for this team. Now, we'll talk about every game. We'll do it twice a weekend, every weekend. And so there will be, you know, a lot to digest from the other games. But the true test, the true first test, is Kentucky. This Deion stuff is getting on your nerves. No Deion today. let me put it this way. There are a few people that cover the team as reporters, a few reporters that cover the team that have taken what is very clearly the smart approach to covering this story. They're waiting to see him show up on the practice field. When he does, they'll tell you. Until he does, they're not going to tell you that he is. And that's the right approach to this. There has been some very bad reporting with this whole deal. And especially after yesterday, although Bruce Feldman is not wrong very often, but still after yesterday and how all that went, and after the player said he's eligible, so here's breaking, he's eligible, all that. Just what I would encourage you to do is don't think anything until you see video evidence of him on the field. After the first wave of reporting about this was inaccurate, everybody should have stopped at that point, I guess, and they didn't. So just when he's able to practice, great. Until then, believe nothing until you see video. Or the handful of reporters that have waited, that have made better decisions. It's just, you know, and it's hard to give some grace. It's hard when the player is telling you something to not believe it. So I understand that. Like, truly, I do. It's hard to be like, actually, no, this involves you directly. You're telling me that it's this way. I'm not going to report that. That's not right either. But moving forward, don't believe it until he shows up. If you could ask me one position you think needed to be elite for Ole Miss to achieve its goals, it's defensive line, but O-line not far behind. Very good. For sure. At this point, if we get Deion by week 4, I wouldn't be surprised. And then the next one, once again, I'm not paying any attention to the Deion Smith saga. Yeah, I understand. As I say to you guys all the time, I'm a broken record with this. I understand the talent level and what the physical tools are. I'm not going to spend. I think a lot of people are being unfair to him. If you want to know the truth, I think people are being unfair to him when they hype him up so much when he hasn't played a lot of football, and he definitely hasn't played a lot of football at this level, and that was a while ago. To talk about him like he's going to come in and change everything about the offense. It's like, whoa, hold on. I know he has the physical ability to do that, but he has not practiced with Ole Miss one time yet. He hasn't. I know he's there and he's running routes and he's working with a great wide receiver coach or has been anyway. And I understand all those things. And I know I'm certain he's had access to the playbook and all that, but has not practiced with this team yet. And the season starts in, 17 days? So I think – and also Trey Harris is on the team, and Juice Wells is on the team, and Jordan Watkins is on the team, and Caden Lee's on the team, and Aiden Williams is on the team. And I know he's got these amazing physical tools, but he hasn't practiced with them yet. He hasn't played a whole lot of football. I mean, I'm a broken record with this. I'm sorry. I keep repeating myself here. We've been talking about this for weeks, but this idea that he's just going to step in and immediately, you know, win the wide receiver of the year award and catch 1,200 yards worth of passes is not fair to him. It's leveling unfair expectations on him. So if he comes in and he plays great and he takes Juice Wells' job and he catches 1,000 yards worth of passes, like, unreal. That's amazing. But if that doesn't happen, that's okay too. Like, that should be what you expect. Expect very little because of the things working against him. And maybe as the season goes on and they finally get the eligibility thing sorted out and he can practice, his impact starts to grow as the season goes on. But until then, I don't think it's fair to call him a game changer in this offense until he can play a game in this offense. That's all. I think that people are levying unfair expectations on him. When there's a lot working against the opportunities for him to be that person. I don't know. I think that everybody needs to take a step back with this deal. I know the physical tools are there. I know he's super talented. Still hasn't started practicing yet. Temper expectations, especially when you've got what you've got in that wide receiver room already. Doesn't matter at this point. I don't want to write him off completely. I think that people need to have some grace with what the expectations for him are right away. Hope my summer was a good one. It was a good one. It's not over yet. Appreciate you being here, man. I know that the format change has kind of kept, you know, your kind, if you will, your fans away. But I appreciate you, man. And I'm glad you're still here, and hope the touring with the band has gone well, and hope you're doing good too, man. Summer was good, but it's still hot as you know what outside. I mean, it's just brutal, but hopefully we're going to get a break next week and actually feel like fall. But glad to see you, man. Last time a team won the national title with an average defense was what, 2010 Auburn? Yeah, I think that's right. Even then, they had Nick Fairley, and Cam Newton was one of the best college quarterbacks ever. Yeah. Days since last, will Deion Smith actually play? Incident? Zero. Yeah, I mean, this group of wide receivers already has a chance to be pretty special. Harris 1, Juice 2, Watkins 3, Caden Lee 4, Aiden Williams 5, Micah 6. Yeah, and Deion Smith, when he's able to play, will factor into that and bolster that room even more. The talent that he will bring to that room when that day comes is real, according to everybody that's ever seen him play. It's real. I do think people aren't being fair, but I don't want to keep repeating that. Scott, good to see you, my friend. Stacy going 11-1. I like it. If you took a shot for every Deion Smith drama moment, you already have died from alcohol poisoning. I'll say Princely Emmanuelan leads the team in sacks, but it wouldn't surprise you if Jared Ivey did. Expect Nolan to draw a lot of double teams. No doubt. No doubt. And Princely will command a lot of attention as well. I mean, Lane Kiffin's not, of course, he knows more about this team than me, but he's not hyping them up. He doesn't do that. He does not give unnecessary hype to his own guys. At least I don't think he does. I can't think of many examples where he hyped somebody up and it ended up not being accurate. He's a lot more critical. When he says that this defensive line can be elite, I mean, you've got the examples. You don't really have to project anything. You've seen at least what the four starters – that you've seen what their ceiling can be, and that ceiling's elite. At this point, Deion's like a toy in a Happy Meal. He's a fun bonus prize, but he's not absolutely needed. You'd be surprised if neither Ivy or Princely leads the team in sacks. You'd be surprised if neither Ivy or Princely lead the team in sacks. D-line depth is reminiscent of a Joe Lee Dunn defensive line. That's a name drop for you. Can't remember the name of the defensive end from South Alabama. It's actually Jacksonville State, Edward. Get it right. I'm kidding. It's just hard to keep up with. But yeah, Chris Hardy. Chris Hardy's who you're thinking of. Could be a sneaky contributor off the edge. Had a lot of production and sacks. And like I said to you guys the other day, he really stood out against South Carolina when he played in that game. When they played at South Carolina last year, he stood out. So you know that he's got the physical ability that can play against SEC teams, at least one. He said that defensive line was elite, and that was without Princely. Yeah, still working back from from that shoulder injury. You travel a lot, as I know. Yes, I do. And to be honest, people talk about every team except Ole Miss, so I guess the Rebs got to prove it to get the attention. Yeah, there is some doubters nationally. There are. And they do have to prove it. I mean, you've got Alabama's getting the benefit of the doubt with a new coach, you know?
I think that their preseason ranking is appropriate. That's about where I'd put them. Probably a spot ahead of Alabama. Not probably, I would put them a spot ahead of Alabama, but now it's up to them to prove it. I think that they belong here. I think they've proven that they belong here. I think the last 3 years, it's not an I think thing. Only Alabama and Georgia wouldn't trade the last 3 years with Ole Miss. Everybody else in the SEC would. That they're here, that they have arrived at that stage to where they can slam that door shut and behind them as they move up a tier. We'll see if they do it. Mills Knight announcing his decision this week. Supposedly Ole Miss is at the top of the list, but December is a long way away. Yes, it is. But it would be a good preseason pickup, though. Their blue chip index is back to 50%. So this will take them over 50%. And that is obviously, as you guys know, that is what you need. If you want to win a championship, you have to have a roster that is half blue chip prospects or more. Also, Xavier Harris is a solid player, made one of the most important plays last year, blocking the field goal against A&M. Can't remember if he blocked the ones against Georgia Tech and Penn State, too. He's just a beast. Physically, he's just huge. People really like him. Just a massive human being in general, no doubt. We don't usually think about it, but having a good push on the line against field goal and extra points could be an underrated factor. It certainly helped out last season. Yes, it did. Most people are going to assume they're the team that went into Georgia last year, and unless they go 7-0 and beat LSU at their place, that's how things will change. Trey Harris being most improved, according to Kiffin, stands out considering how good he's been. You don't know for sure how Harris will perform, but man, he could be a first-team All-American. Absolutely, he could. There's only one ball to go around, but the attention that everybody else is going to have to draw is... I think the way that teams are going to have to beat Ole Miss is by beating Ole Miss's defense, because Georgia will be able to line up athletically with Ole Miss. There's no other defense on their schedule that player for player across the board, weapon for weapon preventer, if you will, matches up with Ole Miss across the board. It's only Georgia that can do that. There's hype, but there's also plenty of people writing them off to have auto losses to LSU and Georgia. It's kind of like most have them in the playoff, but not anything else, or 9-3. Another one, this team is good enough to go undefeated. It would be cool because for 1 year, it would be the most wins in college football ever. That's true. The first team to win 15 games in college, 16 games in college football history, something like that. Kirby's a pseudo cult leader with how he gets his teams to believe what they believe. That's his best attribute as a coach, is getting 85 of the most talented football players in the country to think that nobody believes in them. Feels a little too good to be true to have Georgia going 16-0, but I do. I don't. I think they're going to slip up somewhere. You're overthinking this one. To play devil's advocate on Trey Harris being the most improved guy, what if he's the most improved because everyone else stayed the same or got worse? You're overthinking it. Thoughts on Texas now losing their backup running back for the season as well, torn Achilles. It's brutal. I mean, my goodness. Luckily for Texas, that is the position of easiest, it's the easiest position to sustain an injury on. I think running back, if you told me to pick a team, pick the best player in college football to fill out a team, running back would be my last choice. Stoops is going to stoop. Rebs roll Kentucky in SEC opener. Tion is needed. Make no mistake. I disagree completely. Needed is not the right word to use. Because he's not. He's not needed. He can be very helpful, but they don't need him in a wide receiver room that has what they presently have. Kentucky could be pretty good, but you like Ole Miss to win that game by about 14 points. I think it might be a slugfest at first, and then the talent is going to overtake later. But I haven't seen the teams play yet. But that's just kind of how I expect the Kentucky game to go. They're really good up front on defense, is Kentucky. Week zero is 1 week away. I know. I cannot wait. I cannot wait to spend that Sunday talking with you guys about SMU Nevada and Georgia Tech Florida State. I cannot wait. It's going to be so awesome. Yes, not needed, wanted. There is a difference. I agree. How much opponent analysis do I plan on doing the first 4 weeks? Not much there. Very little. Very little. Because, frankly, I don't think that you guys are going to want that anyway. I mean, are you really going to want me to break down what the loss of Tyler Huff is going to do to the Furman offense? No, right? It's I think those first 4 weeks we're going to be doing a lot of talking about the future opponents for Ole Miss. I think that week one, that Sunday anyway, because we'll do a post game where we'll just talk about Furman on Saturday, right? But that Sunday, oh, shoot, no, wait, that game is on Sunday, right? The LSU-USC, that game's on Sunday. Oh, man, what time is that game? Because I was going to say, anyway, I think we'll spend a lot of time looking at like the South Carolina-Kentucky game in week two. Like that's a game that we're going to talk about almost more than Ole Miss-Middle Tennessee. We'll talk a lot about Arkansas because they play Oklahoma State, so they'll have a measuring stick game. Yeah, it'll be more stuff like that, I think. But when is that game? I'm sure it's at night. So we might be doing that Sunday night live during that game. It's at 6:30. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get to watch that one live anyway. They're just waiting on Jordan Watkins and Juice to get healthy. They're healthy enough to play, I believe. I could be wrong, but I believe that they're healthy enough to play. They're just being careful because they have to be. Kentucky plays South Carolina and Georgia before Ole Miss. Yeah, I mean, they could – they'll be going into the Ole Miss game with at least one loss, possibly two, but I think it'll be just one. I should have massive analysis for the Furman game for obvious reasons. That would be kind of fun to do like an in-depth breakdown, but I don't think you guys will want to watch or listen. Thoughts on Robert Downey Jr. returning as Dr. Doom? I have no idea what that means. And what I mean by that is I'm not being hard-o guy. Like I've watched, you know, the Avengers movies and stuff like that, but I don't know who Dr. Doom is. And I don't understand how, I mean, I guess it's the multiverse thing, but kind of feels like they're taking some liberties with some stuff to get there. But I'll probably watch because I enjoy the movies. I do. So I'll watch it. LSU plays USC, South Carolina, and UCLA before an off week, then hosting Ole Miss. Yeah, I think UCLA is one of those things is not like the other situation, though. I expect them to be very bad. You heard that Creed's return hasn't been great. Well, they're coming here. They're coming here to the amphitheater here in town. So you need LSU to lose so you can get an affordable ticket in the lower sections in Baton Rouge. That'll still be a tough ticket regardless, or at least an expensive one, I think. Yeah, I agree. Even if they lose to USC, as long as they win the rest, it'll be nuts still. Wide receiver room is loaded, but we haven't said one word about the tight ends or running backs catching passes out of the backfield. Not tonight we haven't, but yes, we have. Because what Priestcorn and then what Wright behind Priestcorn can do. I mean, that's what makes this offense really go, is having competency at tight end, let alone being really good at tight end, which is what they can be this year. Say Walter Nolan's comp is Aaron Donald. Let's slow down a little bit on that one. With all due respect, of course, I think that putting that kind of pressure on Walter Nolan's not fair. I mean, same thing with Deion Smith. It's, you know, Aaron Donald is possibly the greatest defensive tackle to ever play the game. I don't know if comping Nolan to Aaron Donald is fair to Nolan, because if he's not the greatest defensive tackle to ever play the game, then, you know, that means that he was, you know, he underachieved, but that's an unfair expectation. So part of you gets more concerned the closer we get to the season. That 9-3 could be where this team ends up, but I still am trusting the staff to make the playoff. I just have a hard time knowing what we know and seeing what we've seen about how Kiffin's teams at Ole Miss have just taken care of business that they're not able to here. Wouldn't be at all surprised to see Wells in motion stop in the backfield and take handoffs, would you? No, I would not be surprised at all. Remember, they did that with Elijah Moore just once, but they did that. I imagine that will be in the arsenal as well. You think Perkins could lead the team in sacks coming off the edge? Certainly could. I wouldn't rank him first or second in who I expect to lead the team in sacks, but he's got the athletic ability. LSU getting a bye when Ole Miss is on a back-to-back road trip also concerns you a lot. It's a tough scheduling spot for sure. It is. You weren't in the Ole Miss fandom in 09, but you've done your fair share of research in the nut years. This has to be different. That 09 team was so tight and easy to unravel. So I actually wasn't here for that either. That was my senior year in high school. I did see that South Carolina Ole Miss game in person, though. So I don't know what that was like either. But I can tell you that Lane Kiffin is a significantly better coach than that of Houston Nutt. His staff is significantly better than that of Houston Nutt's staff. And I think the team overall, from what I remember of it, is better. Like the talent-wise across the board. You're subscribed to a Georgia fan's YouTube channel, and today he predicted Ole Miss to go 11-1, losing at LSU, but beating everyone else, including Georgia. Interesting. Interesting. That is a that's a trip to the SEC championship in that case, but I can't imagine losing to LSU but beating Georgia, though. I know football works that way sometimes, but. His name is Uncle Lou, the YouTuber. Okay, I'll go look for sure. How do I think State plays at Arizona State? I think that game's going to be extremely close and uncomfortable, and most people will be in bed by the time it ends. But a lot of people expect them to just walk in there and just go win. And they certainly can, but I wouldn't just count on that as a place where you just walk in and go win. I really wouldn't. Maybe Wake could have some analysis. Georgia Southern might be the best of the four. It's possible that they are the best of the four. What will the score be for Ole Miss Kentucky? I don't know. 42-24? I don't know. come back in a few weeks and ask me again. First 4 weeks, Ole Miss fans should be able to kick back and relax pretty much. Pretty much. Go live in the second half of LSU-USC. That'll be what we do. That's the plan. That's the plan. Dr. Doom is the main villain of the Fantastic Four. Okay. Yes. Okay. See, I haven't watched Fantastic Four in forever. I mean, it's been a long time since I've seen that. So, anyway. what is a fair comp for Walter Nolan. I mean, Pete didn't exactly give him a comp, but did mention Quinnen Williams, right? Was who he said. Isn't that who he said? Thinks he has that physical ability. That's fairer than Donald, I think. But. You're good if Nolan's a high motor, Kim Dichie. Sven, this is just, I mean, you know, it's a differing of opinion, but you say you shouldn't care about Mississippi State. If you lose against LSU and Georgia, there's no playoffs for Ole Miss. That 10-2 will not get you in with that weak schedule. That certainly, I mean, it's possible, right? But we've actually talked about this before on here because one of the SEC accounts or whatever said that it's likely that they'd miss the playoffs at 10-2. And, you know, people use words like likely without actually thinking about it, I suppose, because we have precedent for this already. The College Football Playoff Committee has been ranking teams for a decade. We know how these things shake out. And last year's Ole Miss team would have made the playoff. Who were their best wins? LSU at home? And then who? Texas A&M? What were their best wins? A 10-2 SEC team is extremely unlikely to be left out of the playoff because we have precedent that says that a 10-2 SEC team is getting ranked inside of the top 11. It's happened like one time in 10 years where an SEC team at that win level was left out. But the next thing is, if a preseason top 10 team goes 10-2, who are the 11, well, we'll call it 10, because the G5 team is very likely to not be in the top 12. So who would be the 10 teams to get in ahead of them? Because you have to be jumped 10 times at that number. The Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. So how many Big Ten teams would get in over them? How many SEC teams would get in over them? How many ACC teams would get in over them? How many ACC teams have Ole Miss's schedule? They don't. How many Big Ten teams play a schedule with the difficulty that Ole Miss has? Very few, if any. So calling it weak is just not exactly accurate when you compare them to the rest of college football, which is who they're going to be measured against when playoff selection comes if they get to that double-digit win mark. It is extremely unlikely, based on precedent, and we have that, so it's not my opinion, it's precedent, that they would be left out at 10-2. It's very, 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 very unlikely. Very unlikely. Jerry would be a great comparison to Nolan. Interesting. Would Snoop Connor be a starter on this team? Absolutely. He would start on almost every team in America any year. Pre-injury, Snoop Connor. Snoop Connor. So I'm sorry. For some reason in my head, you were thinking Tony Connor. Would Snoop Connor start on this team? I think it would be a 1A, 1B thing with Bentley. I don't think he would start. I think he would like split carries with Bentley, and they would use him the way they did before. The game at Florida would worry you if not for their schedule. Yeah, I mean, Florida will have played Georgia and Texas and LSU by then. I mean, it's just, that's brutal. It almost has a bye going into that game. Thoughts on the first round playoff hosts being Ole Miss, Bama, Oregon, and Texas? Three SEC teams hosting a playoff game? You know that the TV networks would absolutely love that. if your best win is an 8-4 Oklahoma, that will not do the trick. What's the difference between 8-4 Oklahoma and what LSU was last year? I mean, truly, what's the difference? Again, there's precedent. It's not an opinion thing. And you're talking about the committee as if you know what they would do, but we already know what they would do. We already know. So there are too many 10-2 records out there to be had, but that's the thing. They've got to be had. There are as many wins as losses that have to be had. I mean, there's a chance that there's only one ACC team that makes the playoff, and there's only one Big 12 team that makes the playoff. That is a very real possibility. Problem is, not only will the G5 not only be in the top 12, the ACC or Big 12 champion may be outside the top 12 as well. That's really unlikely, though, because there's no more divisions. So the championship is the two best teams in every conference now. Divisions are gone. So the it's very unlikely to have the conference champion not end up in the top 12. So anyway, I got to run. It's been it's been fun, but it's been long as well. So I appreciate you guys and thank you for being here as always. Again, no stream Thursday. I've got to leave town, but I will be back in time for Sunday, and I will see you guys. I'll see you guys then. Thank you. Like the video, all that good stuff. Talk to you soon.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.